Good morning. We're grateful that you're here this morning. I hope that you will open your Bibles with me to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33 is where we will be taking our text for the lesson this morning. You may notice that Ezekiel and Ephesians are not the same book, and that we have been in the middle of a study of the seven ones. And today was originally slated to be a study of the idea of one faith. But when the mandate came down on Tuesday, the more I started looking at that lesson and the details and the intricacies of trying to explain and communicate that lesson while trying to survive not being able to breathe, I decided that it probably wasn't a good idea to try to do that lesson the first time out with a mask on. So we pivoted a little bit. We will be coming back and finishing our study through the seven ones. This morning I want us to consider Ezekiel chapter 33. And I want us to specifically look at the first nine verses. Here, God is going to give a series of commands, a series of ordinances, as it were, toward Ezekiel. And it's going to be about his responsibilities as a watchman. Now, as you come into the book of Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel is written in the days of the children of Israel. They are in captivity at this time. They have been taken by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Daniel is already been taken, and he is in the capital of Babylon, serving before Nebuchadnezzar. Ezekiel has been taken in a second carrying away some 10 years later, and he is going to be with a large number of captive Jews by the river Kibar. And it is there that he is going to be working over the course of the book of Ezekiel in prophesying for the people, but also the indication seems to be in sending messages back to the individuals who are still in Jerusalem and still in Palestine. As you come into Ezekiel chapter 33, they have now been in captivity for some 10 or 11 years with Ezekiel. Daniel has now been in captivity for about 20 years at this particular time. And it has now reached the time where Jerusalem is about to fall. Jerusalem is about to be destroyed. And there are messages that Ezekiel is going to be responsible for delivering. There are things that Ezekiel is going to be told that he is going to have to do. And God is going to utilize the statements of these first nine verses of Ezekiel chapter 33 as a reminder, but also as an encourager for Ezekiel. He's going to call him the watchman. Now, the passage that Daniel read for us a moment ago in Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, is the first occasion when God is going to utilize this particular term in reference to Ezekiel. The term watchman, it carries with it the idea of one who would stand on the wall of the city, and he would be watchful for enemies. He would be paying attention for dangers and for alerts that needed to go out. And it was his responsibility to be paying attention to what was going on and to warn of dangers that were coming. The watchman on the wall was the one who was supposed to make sure that the people of the city did not become surprised by something that happened, or did not allow anything to get in that wasn't supposed to be there. So let's look at what God says to Ezekiel from the standpoint of him being a watchman. In Ezekiel 33 and in verse 1, Ezekiel says, "Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land, And the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. I want us to notice some things that I believe are very important and are just as important for us today as they were for Ezekiel in his day to understand about how God thinks and how God looks at those who are watchmen. Now, we don't necessarily use that term today. And if you look in the New Testament, you're not going to find that particular word utilized from the standpoint of the New Testament church today. But I would submit to you that the principles of what the watchman did and what he was intended to do are very much alive and active and well in the church today, just as they were in the days of Ezekiel. And so I want us to look at what it is that God expects of watchmen and how that applies to us. First of all, I want you to notice the responsibility of the watchman. When you back up to verse 2, he talks about the fact, and notice that there's two different kinds of watchmen in a sense that are being discussed. In verse 7, he talks about how that he made Ezekiel a watchman. Ezekiel was God's choice as his watchman. But in verse 2, he talks about the fact when you set someone up as a watchman, here's what you expect them to do. The responsibility of the watchman is this. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, verse 3, he is to blow the trumpet and warn the people. In other words, when danger is coming, when something bad is on the horizon, when the enemy is at the gate, when things are about to take a turn for the worse, the watchman's job is to warn the people of the problem. The watchman's job is to tell others what is going on. And it's not supposed to be in a whisper on the backside of the gate where only certain people can hear. It was the case in those days that there was oftentimes a bell that the watchman would stand next to. And when that particular danger came, or when the enemy showed his face, or whatever the case might be, the very first thing the watchman was supposed to do was start to ring that bell to let everybody know that danger or something unknown is on the horizon. It's time to start getting ready. It's time to start preparing for what it is that is going to come. The responsibility of the watchman is to give the warning. In verse 4, it talks about the sounding of the trumpet, which is very much this same idea as the bell. The sounding of the trumpet to get everybody's attention. It is something that is loud. It is something that is significant. It is something that is not easily ignored. The watchman is supposed to lay forth the warning. He is supposed to tell what is going on and what is on its way. And then, verse 4, it says, whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and doesn't take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take the warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. In other words, there is a responsibility. If I don't sound the warning and I'm the watchman, guess what? Danger is still going to come. The impact is going to be the same. But I'm going to be held responsible for what I didn't do, because I didn't do my job. I also want you to notice not just the responsibility of the watchman. And again, you're talking about these things in some ways in this physical sense, because this was a physical reality in their day of the way that they handled security for the cities. But I want you to notice in verses 7 through 9 the culpability of the watchman, because God is going to relate it to the spiritual matters in the place in Ezekiel's situation. He says, beginning in verse 7, that I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. You are my watchman, Ezekiel. When I give you a message, when I give you a warning, you are the one who has the responsibility of passing that message on. When I say to the wicked, he says, verse 8, O wicked man, you shall surely die. And you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Here he's talking about the spiritual impact of Ezekiel as a preacher, as a prophet, as a watchman. He says, when I give you a message, when I give you my word, your responsibility is to pass that word on to others. If you don't warn them, then they are still going to die in their iniquity. They are still going to be condemned because they will have not done what they were supposed to do. But you're also going to be held responsible because you didn't give them the opportunity to change by warning them. They're still responsible for their actions, but you're responsible for yours as well. Now, if you warn them and they don't change, and they don't fix what it is that needs to be fixed, they are still going to face the same consequences. But you have saved yourself. You have fulfilled your responsibilities and done what it was that you were commanded to do. When you think about this idea of a watchman, I want to make application to us, and I want to look at it from two different perspectives or two different layers. Because Ezekiel had the responsibility to proclaim the word of God to the captives of his day, but also to the people in general at this particular time, to explain to them why they were there, to explain what changes needed to be made, and also to lay the groundwork for what was to come, and to explain that there was hope at the end. So what about us? Are there any expectations of a watchman among us today? Let me submit to you three or four categories that I believe we have today that also qualify as this idea of a watchman. First of all, preachers are watchmen. Part of the responsibility of a preacher is to proclaim the Word of God, is to proclaim to men the Word of God. Now, sometimes we talk about the gospel as being the good news, and it is the good news. It is the great things that have been done on our behalf, and the things that God has done, and the love that God has for us, and all of these things. But there's also warnings that are a part of that. There are also very important messages that are a part of what happens if we don't obey. And the things that God has said are acceptable, and the things that God has said are unacceptable. Preachers have a responsibility to preach the whole counsel of God. And if the only thing I ever want to declare as a preacher is that the king is coming, and I don't ever want to declare when the enemy are at the gates, there's a problem. Because I'm not doing my job as a watchman. I'm not doing my job to warn of danger, to deal with problems or difficulties that arise. There is a reason why John would talk about the importance in 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 1 of putting to test the spirits, putting to test the things that are taught to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. What happens when preachers stop giving the warnings of wickedness and evil and right and wrong, and instead only focus on the king is coming? Is the king still going to come? Yes, the king is still going to come. How many are still going to be there when he arrives if the warnings have not been sounded? In the second place, not only are preachers ones who have a responsibility as watchmen, but elders do as well, do they not? Their responsibility is to be the shepherds of the flock. Their responsibility is to be those who are watching out for dangers among the flock. Right? They are to feed the flock. They are to take care of the flock. They are to watch over the flock. They are to protect the flock from wolves. Well, guess what that means? That means they have to be watchmen. That means they have to stand ready to confront the problems and to confront the dangers that face the flock of God. It means that the elders have to be worried about more than just who is sick at the hospital or who hasn't been attending services the way they should. That's an important area. Elders need to be just as concerned with what is being taught, what struggles, what moral issues, what dangers members of the congregation are dealing with and are facing and are struggling with. Why? Because their job is to protect the flock. And as such, yes, it is to be there for them, to love them, to strengthen them, to encourage them, but also to warn them when the flock is in danger and needs to react a certain way. Because the flock will follow the shepherd. And they are the shepherd of the sheep. In the third place, I would submit to you that not only are preachers to be watchmen and elders to be watchmen, I would submit to you that parents are to be watchmen as well. That parents have the responsibility of being the watchman for their castle, for their family. And that as such, there is a responsibility that is placed upon parents to watch out for the dangers that their family and that their children are going to be dealing with and that they're going to have to face, the things that are coming at them. And folks, as we live in this world today, we live in a world that deals with dangers on all sides when it comes to the family. There really is no safe space for the family in our world today. Because they face dangers when it comes to the things that are going on in school. They face dangers when it comes to the things that are going on in society. They face dangers in the things that go on in the electronic world around them. They face dangers from every side. And there are far too many parents who are willing to stand by and say, you know what? It's not really all that bad. Or it's not going to get into my castle, but I'm not going to close the gates. I'm not going to warn. I'm not going to stand in the way of my child when he starts developing friendships with people that are going to lead him down a bad path. I'm not going to watch out and yell and holler and scream at the top of my lungs, as it were, to protect, to defend, to warn, and to be there no matter what. You see, parents are put in the place of being watchmen. It's their responsibility to guard and to protect their family and their home. But far too many are sitting huddled where it's nice and warm instead of standing on the walls and watching. But in the fourth place, I would submit to you that in a world that is lost, Christians are watchmen as well. Our job as Christians is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Right? Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Our job is to warn. Our job is to announce and to prepare and to tell people what the situation is and the dangers that they're facing, the problems that lie ahead if they continue on the road that they're taking. Our job as Christians is to not just proclaim that Jesus Christ is and the good news of what he came to do for us, but also the bad news of where it is that people are headed if they don't get their life right. If they don't make the changes that they need to make. If they don't put their trust in him and they aren't obedient to him. I read something just this morning from an individual I do not know, who said one of the greatest problems that Christians have is they're constantly out there trying to tell people what is right and what is wrong instead of just loving them into heaven. That's a lousy watchman. Because you know, it's really hard to get to your destination if you're eaten halfway there. If you're destroyed before you can arrive. If the enemy defeats you in battle before you ever get to your goal. As Christians, our responsibility is to be watchmen. To warn, to encourage, to strengthen. You know, it's not something where you are running away from the problem and as you pass, you say, oh, by the way, there's something bad back here. It is to warn and to prepare and then to stand and to fight against. To encourage and to strengthen. But finally, before we close this morning, I want to talk about quickly some struggles that can sometimes be the case for watchmen. Some statements that sometimes those who are supposed to be watchmen will make as part of the reason why maybe they don't do their job or why they're frustrated in their job. You know, there are some watchmen who will state, well, if they don't listen, then it's my fault. You know, if I give out the warning and I say what I'm supposed to say and I do what I'm supposed to do and they don't listen, then I must have done it wrong. I must not have done it well enough. I want you to go back to Ezekiel chapter 33 for a moment and look at verse 5 and what God says there to Ezekiel. He says, "He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life." Folks, as a watchman, your job is to sound the warning. You cannot control the response. It is one of the single hardest things for me as a preacher to remember. Because when I give a message, especially one that inscribes or that has as a part of it the warnings of God about this particular behavior or this particular action or living life in this way, and you turn around and you walk out and on Monday you see people doing the exact same thing you just preached about on Sunday not doing, it is one of the hardest lessons to remember. Yet God here is constantly reminding Ezekiel, your job is to give the warning. It's their job to respond to it appropriately. I can't force people to respond to the warnings. All I can do is give them. The second struggle that sometimes the watchman will face is the mentality that as long as I take care of myself, that's all that matters. You know, it's the idea of the watchman on the wall that sees the danger coming, the enemy army is arriving, and it's not going to end well, and so instead of spreading the warning, the watchman sneaks out the back door before everything falls apart. I've taken care of myself, I've paid attention to the warning, but I didn't warn anybody else. You know, unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians that go through life living that kind of a watchman status. They pay attention to what God's Word says. They pay attention to what it is that they're supposed to do when it comes to the things that they should do and the things that they shouldn't do. But when it comes time to talk to anybody else about it, to warn anybody else about the problems or to tell anybody about what is to come, they are silent as a tomb. They have taken care of themselves, but they have failed to warn anybody else. God says that doesn't work as a watchman. It doesn't work as a Christian either. But sometimes when we have been so ignored and so downtrodden for so long, we have the tendency to think, you know what, I'm just going to worry about me and everybody else can just fend for themselves. Doesn't work like that. Not when you're a watchman. But in the third place, there are those who say, if I don't tell, it won't happen. If I don't tell somebody they're lost, then they won't be. If I don't tell somebody the danger that they're in, then it won't really be a big deal. We'll just ignore it and it'll go away. I want you to notice what he says to Ezekiel in verse 8. He says, "When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand." You know where I see this the most? I see this the most in families in the church. Because you will have individuals who are not living right. You will have individuals that are not doing right. You will have individuals that have left the Lord behind that are endangering their souls by their actions. And they will have family members who are members of the church who don't want to talk about it. They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to give any kind of problem that might occur with that individual to try to bring them back, and instead they're just going to pretend that it doesn't happen. And we're going to ignore it and hope that they change later. Or it's the individual that leaves the truth and they go off into some other religious belief system or some other religious error. And far too often you have those who are members of the church who will then begin to argue that, well, you know, it really doesn't mean that we have to obey everything. We just have to get a few core things right and everything else will be okay. And so then we start broadening the tent just far enough that our family members are included. Or that those that we want to be included are included. And instead of sounding the warning, we instead ignore the problem and pretend that it will go away. God tells Ezekiel, if you fail to give the warning, guess what? The condemnation, the judgment, the problem is still going to come, but you're going to be held responsible as well. There is a song, I believe it is in these songbooks. I know it wasn't in our older songbooks. But it talks about the fact, the first verse says, when in the better land, before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls will be. If any lost one there should cry in deep despair, you never mentioned him to me. You never mentioned him to me. You taught me not the light to see. You met me day by day. You knew I was astray, yet you never mentioned him to me. You know what that means? We failed as a watchman. God gave Ezekiel the responsibility to be a watchman. We have the same responsibility in various facets of our lives. Whether it be for me as a preacher, whether it be for our elders in their work, whether it be in our responsibilities as parents or in our responsibilities as Christians. We all have an area where we have the responsibility to be a watchman. Are we fulfilling our responsibility? Maybe there's one here this morning who is not a member of the body of Christ. And there are ways that we can help you. There's things that we might be able to say or questions that we might be able to answer. We would love to sit down and talk with you. If that is your desire. Maybe you want to obey the gospel and you want to be one who, believing on the name of Jesus, is willing to repent of your sins, to confess him before men, and to be immersed in water that the blood that was shed on your behalf by Jesus might cleanse you from your sins. We would love to help you do that this morning, if that is your desire. Maybe you're one who's already a member of the body of Christ. But you've been living your life in such a way that there are warning bells going off as to the direction that you are going, and you need to come back. Or you need prayers for strength and encouragement. We can assist you in any way this morning. Why not come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?